Father Yahweh, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. As we come, Father, to hear from you, we come to learn of you, Father, and to hear your word. We ask, Father, that you would humble your servant and that you would bless us this day, that your word would have free course in us, and that you would bless us, Father, that we would receive the blessing with humbled hearts, Father, as we seek to do that which is right in your sight, as we seek to draw closer to you, we ask, Father, that your will would bless us, that it would be a part of our lives, and that each one of us, Father, would run the course and do your will and try to prepare for Yahshua's second coming. As we go forth, Father, as we seek to learn more of you, we ask, Father, that your word would bless us and that each one of us would be on fire for you, Father, and seek more of your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to be raised up to do your will in these last days. Help us, Father, to be a humble but holy people. Help us to seek your faith and to walk in the footsteps of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, who came and gave his life, that we might have life more abundantly. He overcame the world, Father, so we know that each one of us can do the same. Help us, Father, as we seek to draw closer to you, and we ask all these favors and blessings. In Yahshua's holy name we pray. Hallelujah. You may all be seated at this time. This message is entitled The Households of Faith, Part 3. We went through Part 1 and 2, and I'll revisit that a little bit later. Right now, this is based on a book that I'm reading called Moses, Steps to a Life of Faith. And Moses was a very faithful man in Yahweh's eyes. He was considered the meekest man to live on this planet, on the earth. Why did Almighty Yahweh call Moses to go to Egypt and bring Israel out, then afflict him on the way to Egypt? That's the question we're going to look at and answer today. Why does he call us into his service, and then it seems we are on our own when we try our best to do his will? We run into these obstacles, these brick walls in our lives. We know the Bible says that Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Yahweh cannot use us until we are completely bent to his will. The question I have for you today, have you completely surrendered? We're going to start in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 7. Verse 7. We'll start in verse 18. Exodus 4, verse 18. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father and said to him, let me go, I pray you, and return to my brethren that are in Egypt and see whether they are yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. And Yahweh said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt, for all the men are dead that sought your life. And Moses took his wife and his son and set them on an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of Elohim in his hand. And last week we talked about that rod, that staff that Moses had. used that staff. The 40 years he was in the wilderness, that staff became something that he trusted in. So he used it, I'm sure, to fight off the animals that were trying to attack his sheep. He used it to steady himself as he was going through the desert. But he depended on that staff. What is it in your life that you depend on? The Yahweh wanted Moses to take that which he had in his hand and throw it on the ground. He had to get rid of it. He threw it at Yahweh's feet, and it was consecrated. And then Yahweh gave it back to him. He turned that rod into a snake because the snake was representative of Egypt. And he knew he had to go back to Egypt. See, what is it in our lives that is causing us not to be able to get through to Yahweh? I'm going to tell you, with me, it's my family. I have a lovely family. I love my family. But I have to turn my family. I had to turn my family back to Yahweh. And this being a family reunion weekend for me, this is very important that my family is here. But see, family is very important to Yahweh as well. And when you think about it, okay, because we do a lot for our children, our grandchildren, okay, but we can't let them come between us and Yahweh. I know once one of my sons said something to my wife about, if I was running from the law, would you hide me? She said, no. She says, no. You shouldn't be running from the law. And he was just joking. This is one of those things she just threw out there hypothetically. But he wanted to see where she was. And she let him know she's going to do what's right. But too often people will use their family and they'll get themselves. I remember when that asset forfeiture law came into being. People were losing their houses, their grandmother's house, because they got caught with drugs in their grandmother's house. And when that law was put into place, if they found the drugs there, they took that property. And people started to lose their homes because of these individuals who were breaking the law. See, so when we think about what we put before Yahweh, we also have to look at what's important to us. And if it becomes more important than Yahweh, it becomes an idol. Okay? But what we want to do is what Moses did. He consecrated that staff to Yahweh. Yahweh gave it back to him to use. It became from the staff of Moses to the rod of Yahweh. He had the authority of Yahweh going back to Egypt. He left Egypt, okay, 40 years prior, kind of like with his tail between his legs because they sought his life. They were going to come after him because he had killed an Egyptian. Right? But now he's going back. And not only was the government after him, I mean, you have to look at his people rejected him as well. So he's going back to those same people. And Yahweh, in verse 21, said to Moses, when you go back into Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your hand. But I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. And you shall say to Pharaoh in this manner, Yahweh, in this manner says Yahweh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Now, this is something we have to understand as well. What does the firstborn receive? The firstborn receives a double portion of the inheritance. Israel is the firstborn of Yahweh's people. It doesn't mean that the rest of the earth, the rest of the nations, aren't Yahweh's people. It's just that Israel is the firstborn. Okay? This is what the scripture is telling us. And I have said to you, let my son go, that he may serve me, and you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. And this is before the 10 plagues. This is before, you know, Moses has gone and showed them all of these wonders of Yahweh. So we know the end from the beginning. We already see what Yahweh's going to do with Pharaoh. Because it says here that I will kill your son, your firstborn. And this is before any of the plagues have been performed. In verse 24, and it came to pass on the way at the lodging place that Yahweh met and sought to kill him. Now, he just ordained Moses and anointed him to go back to Egypt to release Israel. But now he's seeking to kill him. This passage, like I said, is very controversial with a lot of the commentators. Then, in verse 25, now, Yahweh just, first of all, let's put it this way. Yahweh didn't try to do anything. You don't have to try. If you wanted to kill Moses, you'd have killed Moses. But what most of the commentators say is that Moses became deathly ill to the extent that he couldn't do the circumcision himself. That his wife, Zipporah, in verse 25, it says, then Zipporah took a flint knife and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. And she said, surely a bridegroom of blood are you to me. So he let him alone. He let him alone. Then she said, a bridegroom of blood are you because of the circumcision. So this is what the crux of this is about. The circumcision, his kid, his son had not been circumcised. And that was one of the ordinances that Yahweh, that was the covenant. You had to be circumcised as one of Yahweh's people. Okay? Now, think back, Moses, before he can go perform this great act that Yahweh is asking him to perform, he had to be right with Yahweh, 100%. He had to surrender. And obviously he hadn't completely surrendered until this point. Obviously he got his health back because he went on after that and met with Aaron, his brother, which we'll read in a minute, and went on to do what Yahweh commissioned him to do from the burning bush. Now each one of us in the wilderness have to run into our burning bush. We have to see what Yahweh wants us to do in our lives. It's different for each and every one of us. All of us don't have the same commission. We have a part of it as far as the Great Commission is concerned, but we all have different gifts. Okay? Now, whatever gift you have, whatever strength you have that Yahweh has given you, has it been consecrated to Him? If you've consecrated it to Him, then you've surrendered. But if you haven't surrendered to Yahweh, guess what? You can't go any further. You wonder why you're like in a do loop, as they say in computers. It just keeps going around and around, or a circle. Some people get to a point in their life where they can't go beyond that point. They keep running into the same thing, the same problem. And you think about it. What's stopping you from doing what Moses did? What's stopping you from being as great as Moses? The only answer is you. Yahweh took Moses. I mean, you think about all of the things that Moses had accomplished in Egypt. All of that was in his past. It wasn't remembered. No one cared. So when Moses came back, this is the same man that left. No, it's a different man. He was more humble. See, because Yahweh had to take him from being that general that he was in Egypt and as strong as he was, and now it's 40 years later. He's older, much wiser, but at the same time, he was much more humbler. And that's what we have to get, brethren. We have to become a humble servant to Almighty Yahweh. But what's important to Yahweh is what? His family. He said there in verse 22, Yahweh, and this man says, Yahweh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I have said to you, let my son go that he might serve me, and you have refused to let him go. Behold, I will kill your son, your firstborn. And truly, that's what happened. Turn over to Psalm 127. We're going to read 127 and 128. Psalm 127. Except Yahweh builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except Yahweh keeps the city, the watchman awakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of toil, for so he gives to his beloved sleep. Though children are a heritage of Yahweh, they are a blessing from Yahweh, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be put to shame when they speak with their enemies in the gate. In Psalm 128, blessed is everyone that fears Yahweh, that walks in his ways. For you shall eat the labor of your hands. Happy shall you be, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be as a fruitful vine in the innermost parts of your house. Your children like olive plants around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that fears Yahweh. Yahweh shall bless you out of Zion, and you shall see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, you shall see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. You're going to see your grandchildren if you are blessed of Yahweh. We have to completely surrender to Almighty Yahweh. And surrendering means being in subjection to Yahweh. Turn over with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this cause, I also, having heard of faith, of the faith in the Master Yahshua, which is among you. He's talking about those of Ephesus and their faith toward Yahshua and the love that you show toward all the saints. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you and of my prayers, that the El of our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. And remember, faith is belief, brethren. This is talking about the faith of the Ephesian brethren. But again, the book is entitled Moses, a step to a life of faith. Step to a life of faith. According to that working of the strength of his might, which he wrought in the Messiah when he raised him from the dead and made him to sit at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power, and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, back to Moses. It says, for Moses, this is from the book, Moses Steps to a Life of Faith, it is pretty obvious that Yahweh wanted to get his attention. One thing we know from the text is that Moses' son was not circumcised, and this was a big deal for the Jews. Without circumcision, an Israelite was cut off from the covenant or the promises of Yahweh. And from the text, you can guess why Moses' son wasn't circumcised. His wife was a Midianite, and the Midianites thought circumcision was disgusting. And so Moses and Zipporah got the message from Yahweh loud and clear. Zipporah performed the rite, and can you tell how happy she is about it from the text? She wasn't very happy. See, but sometimes we're not happy, but we have to yield to what Yahweh wants us to do. See, just because we've come into this knowledge, we look back to the customs of how we were raised. Now, let me use the Sabbath for an example, okay? The Jews have never lost sight of keeping the Sabbath. Yet, this is something. We're talking about the living El. Remember, Israel is my firstborn. He's chosen the Jewish people. Okay? He's chosen them. In John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Verse 19, he's speaking to the Samaritan woman. Now, the Samaritans have been transplanted from the land of Assyria in that area, where the Persians were, the Medes and the Persians. They were transplanted from that area and brought down to live in the area, the 10 northern tribes of Samaria. Okay? The woman says to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men are to worship. Yahshua says to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you know not. We worship that which we know. For salvation is from the Jews, Yahudim. That word is Yahuda in the Hebrew. And it means one who praises Yahweh. That's what it means. So when we speak about Jews, we're not speaking about the physical people. We're speaking about the worshipers of Yahweh. Okay? Because spiritually, that's what it's about. This is what Yahweh wants the world to understand, that he is the only true Mighty One. He's the living El. He's the only one that can give eternal life. All the rest of the Mighty Ones are idols. They're idols. Now, back to this. It says, and so how does all this apply to us? Circumcision is not a part of most of the world's spiritual story. Okay? It's still in the scriptures. It tells if you have a male child, on the eighth day, you have him circumcised. We talked about that, and we'll deal with that in a minute. But it says in Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, verse 9, it says, "For in him dwells all the fullness of the majesty on high bodily, and in him you are all made full, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of the Messiah, and having been buried with him in baptism, in which you are also raised with him through faith in the working of Yahweh, who raised him from the dead." So we have that same faith if we follow, Yahshua the Messiah. To the Israelites, circumcision meant that he had been set aside for Yahweh. It separated the Jews from the other people and made them Yahweh's special possession. Remember what we saw there in Exodus, that they were his firstborn. Okay? It doesn't mean that anyone else is not Yahweh's children. It just means that we have to be grafted into that vine. We have to be added to that group of people. And how do we do that? Do we do it by not keeping the covenant? No. The covenant today is a different covenant than circumcision. It's circumcision of the heart. And you circumcise your heart by keeping the commandments. And what commandments do we keep? We keep the Ten Commandments, the same commandments that they kept. In Jeremiah chapter 31, if you turn over with me there, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, it says, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. Although I was a husband to them, says Yahweh, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my laws in their inward parts, and in their heart will I write it. And I will be their Elohim, and they shall be my people." See, we have to choose to be his people, which means we have to accept that covenant. "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says Yahweh, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin will I remember no more." Now, what is sin? A lot of people are raised thinking sin is drinking, dancing, and gambling. But sin is a transgression of the law. It's breaking that covenant. See? So it's important for us to understand that not only do we need to keep the covenant, when I say that, we need to keep the Sabbath, we need to keep Yahweh's name holy. And now, the Jews have a ban, the leadership of the Jews, not only in Israel, but throughout the world, they have a ban on using the name. See? They're offended if you use Yahweh's name. It's too holy for you to pronounce, especially if you're a Gentile. But see, there are no Gentiles when it comes to Yahweh. It may say that in the scriptures. I'm talking about the nation. The term Gentile goes back to nation. But remember what I said. Israel is his firstborn. We have to become Israel. And that means to rule with Elohim. We have to take that next step, brethren. We have to step up, keep the covenant, making ourselves grafted into that group of people. So we have to become Jews. We have to become spiritual Jews. Overcomers. Because this is what we do. When we're praising Yahweh's name, and this is what the definition of Yahuda means, turn to Genesis chapter 29. And Leah was having her children in verse 35. In Genesis chapter 29, verse 35. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, this time will I praise Yahweh. Therefore she called his name Yehuda. Remember, there are no J's in Hebrew. And she left off there. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6, verse 4. We were buried, therefore, with him through baptism into death, that like as the Messiah was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, that we also might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was impaled with him, that the body of sin might be done away, that so we should no longer be in bondage to sin. And this is what he believed us from. When he came, and I'm speaking of Moses now, when he went back to Egypt, what did he do? He went to release them from their Egyptian bondage, their slavery. And what is our slavery? Our slavery was to sin. And this is what Romans and Paul is trying to tell us in Romans chapter 6. We've been freed from that bondage of sin. Because we know the commandments. We have a relationship with our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah. See, this is where the rubber meets the road. As true worshipers, we're not subject to sacrificial laws as they were in the Old Testament. Because we've accepted Yahshua the Messiah's sacrifice. But we're responsible to be obedient to the will of Yahweh. When we begin this new adventure with Yahweh, he's going to start holding us to the higher standard. You understand? Because we're no longer ignorant of the commandment. We know too much. Back in Exodus 5. And after Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, this is what Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a feast to me in the desert. Pharaoh said, who is Yahweh, that I should obey him and let Israel go? I do not know Yahweh. And I will not let Israel go. There's too many people out there today that still say they don't know Yahweh. But guess what? The Messiah can't return until the people are saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. That's what our job is in the Great Commission. We have to go into all the world and let the world know who Yahweh is. See? Now Pharaoh should have known who Yahweh was. Matter of fact, I believe he did. But remember that as Pharaoh, there were no limits to his power and authority in Egypt. Each Pharaoh was considered a child of the sun and was to be worshipped as a deity, a mighty one. The key word in verse is in verse 2. Obey. This was a new concept for Pharaoh as a deity. He obeyed no one. Pharaoh's response to Moses sealed his fate. I do not know Yahweh, and I will not let Israel go. But when we surrender, brethren, we come to that point where we're on our knees and we're asking Yahweh to release us, to forgive us from that burden of sin that we've had so many years of our lives. When we come to that knowledge of Yahweh, we realize that He's not going to let us go any further until we get rid of all that is holding us back. All of the pride, all of the things that we believe that we are, that makes us who we are. See, some men, they believe they're great. And they may be great in whatever area of their life. I don't know what it is, but I'm just saying, whether they're a pastor, whether they're a carpenter, or whatever, you know. But they have to come to that point in their life where they realize that there is someone a lot more powerful than them. And when they come to that realization, that's when they fall on their knees and give glory to Yahweh and say, Father, forgive me. See? And when He forgives us, we don't have to worry anymore because it's in the past. It didn't matter whether you killed somebody, but Paul put many of the believers to death. But he realized that he had gotten beyond that when he came and found out who Joshua was. Because he truly didn't know until that Damascus Road experience. Until he was knocked to his knees, that Paul realized that he wasn't on the right track. He was with the right people, but he wasn't on the right track. See? Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah, blinded him and put him on his knees and showed him, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he realized, who? He told him, it's me, Yahshua, whom you persecute. And then at that time, Paul had to be reeducated. He knew, he was a pharisee, he knew every word and tittle. The scribes, they knew the law of Yahweh. But what was the difference? The Paul before to the Paul after. The Paul before was arrogant. He knew this stuff. You understand? He was considered like that rich young ruler. A lot of people thought that that's who it was that came to Yahshua, that it was Paul, that said, all these things I've done in my life, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he says, go, give away your riches. Give away your wealth to the poor, then come follow me. So that rich young ruler went away sorrowful because he had so much possessions. And those possessions controlled him. They were more important to him than being in the kingdom. And see, that's why I said we have to come to a point where we're ready to surrender them. And see, when we come as the family of Yahweh, we realize that He will take each one of us when we've surrendered to Him, and He'll lift us up as He did Moses. See, Moses had to get to that point where he surrendered, which he did. And each one of us must get there. And once we're there, Yahweh will lift us up. And He'll give us the rest of what we need to get not only to Egypt, but get out and take the people to salvation. Moses is a type of Yahshua the Messiah. See? There are many types in the scriptures. But what we have to understand that Moses and the steps to a life of faith, he grew up in a household of faith. When you think about it, it's his father and mother's faith to take this child and put him in that Nile River with those crocodiles. See, they had to turn it over to Yahweh. And they did. How often are we ready to turn it over to Yahweh? We have to get to that point, each one of us, to be able to turn it completely over. Too often we're holding, dealing with our fingertips. We're just trying to hold on, thinking that we can do it ourselves. But we can't. The reason we can't do it ourselves is because we have to realize that Yahweh has to get the glory. He has to have the glory. And when he is allowed to take over our lives, guess what? He's in control. Everything will go perfect. It'll work. I'm not saying your life you won't have any problems. I'm just saying because the scripture tells us in turn over to Psalm, and I use this often, 34. And the reason I use it is because it's pretty much perfect. In Psalm 34:19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers them out of them all. It doesn't say Yahweh delivers them out of 95%. He says Yahweh delivers them out of them all, brethren. See, we can't limit Yahweh. We can't do it. Now, okay, I found what I was looking for. It says here. Now, when we go back to when Moses was met at that lodging place and he got very ill or whatever, it says in the book, my guess is that Moses came down with some very serious sickness, which they interpreted as Yahweh trying to kill him. That brings up another question. Why do we sometimes get sick, brother? What are the reasons why we might get sick? Glory to Yahweh for the healing, death, learn to trust and rely on Yahweh. The fall of man, and sometimes Yahweh is just trying to get our attention, as he got Moses' attention about the circumcision. For Moses, it's pretty obvious that Yahweh wanted to get his attention. See, we have to come to that realization in each one of our lives that Yahweh is trying to get our attention. And when we acknowledge that, we can move on, we can grow in his grace and knowledge and ask him, what did Eli tell Samuel? He thought Samuel was calling him. He kept getting up and running to Samuel. And Samuel said, I didn't call you. And then he finally got the message and told Samuel, Yahweh's trying to talk to you. Just stay still and say, Master, I hear. And get that instruction and learn what Yahweh wants you to do in your life. He has a purpose for each and every one of us. Now, again, when we are commanded to do something, you have to look at it through Yahweh's eyes. When we come to that point in our life where we've accepted Yahweh and realize that he is with us, it's not us. When Moses went back, and this is what he was trying to get Moses to see, when you go back to Egypt, it's not the same Moses. You understand? The Moses that left Egypt didn't have Yahweh with him. I mean, he was there, but I'm saying different than when Moses went back. When Moses went back, it was Yahweh. See? He had to realize that it was Yahweh with him that was going to make all these things happen. Jesus. Now, he probably saw Pharaoh as being a giant, you know, as the Israelites saw Goliath. But what happens is the giants aren't there to stop us from it. They are there to demonstrate the power of Yahweh on our behalf. That giant, Goliath, didn't stop David. What giants are they that are in our lives that we look and see a giant, but with the power of Yahweh, they're nothing. When the Israelite princes were told to go spy out the land, out of the 12, 10 of them came back with an evil report. They said how big these people are. They saw them as giants. They didn't see that Yahweh would defeat them all. He was not going to give you the promised land and then you not be able to go in and take it. You understand? When he gives you something to do, he's going to give you the power to accomplish it. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, and it's starting verse 18. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knows not what his master does. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. See, Yahweh has chosen us to be a part of his family, his mishpachah. And being a part of the family of Yahweh, we're no longer called servants. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And whatever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you may love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. For all these things that Yahshua has done for us is that we would be able to fulfill the Great Commission to overcome this world. In John chapter 16, verse 28. It says, I came out from the Father, and have come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples say, no, now speak you plainly, and speak no doubt saying. Now we know that you know all things, and need not that any man should ask you. By this we believe that you came forth from Yahweh. Yahshua answered them, do you now believe? Do you now have faith, brethren? Behold, the hour comes, yes, has come, that you shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet, I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And truly, Yahshua did overcome the world. And guess what? Moses overcame Egypt with the power of Yahweh. We can overcome the world with the power of Yahweh because we have Yahshua the Messiah. He said that he would be with us even to the end of the age. We're not there yet. But Yahshua is still with us. Again, when you look at the challenge that we have in front of us, you realize the battle lines are drawn. They were drawn between Moses and Pharaoh, between us and the enemy. 40 years before Moses went back, the battle lines were drawn, and it didn't turn out well for Moses. He had fled for his life. Now, it's Pharaoh against Yahweh. No contest. Pharaoh was afraid to lose his slave labor. He had a firm grip on them, and he would tighten his grip to hold them. There's no difference for us today. We have Satan who would hold us in bondage and keep us ineffective in life and the ministry and to keep us from this great adventure, the kingdom of Yahweh. Pharaoh versus Yahweh, no contest. Satan versus Yahshua, no contest. Notice that we aren't even in the conflict. You, dear children, are from Yahweh and have overcome them. Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And that's in 1 John 4. And we realize that Yahshua, who is in us, has given us the victory through his death and resurrection. In 1 John 4, and we'll start in verse 4. It says, you are of Yahweh, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world because they speak of the world. And that's what Pharaoh was speaking of. He was thinking about the slave labor. And the world hears them. We are of Yahweh. He that knows Yahweh hears us. He who is not of Yahweh does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, the same day Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers, and his foreman in charge of the people, that you are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw, but require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They're lazy. That's why they're crying out, let us go sacrifice to Yahweh. Make them work harder for the men so that they keep working and pay no attention to the lives. But you know what? It may get more difficult for us in life. Satan may be, trying to make us make bricks without straw. But we're going to get to the kingdom, brethren. And the reason we're going to overcome is because we realize it's not us. And when you come to that realization, once you've surrendered yourself and you see that it's not you that are doing anything, it's all Yahweh, through Yahshua the Messiah. He's already had the victory over Satan. See? It's just a matter of time. All we have to do is maintain to the end, as it says in Matthew. Jesus chapter 24. All we have to do is maintain. In verse 13 it says, Matthew 24:13, "But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And these good tidings of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony to all the nations, and then shall the end come." See, Almighty Yahweh is calling a people today that he wants to be like Moses. He wants the people to be humble. He wants the people to overcome this world with his power, to come to that realization that we recognize that it's not us. We have to humble ourselves, brethren, and give glory to Yahweh because he's given us the victory through Yahshua the Messiah. And it's only through Yahshua's shed blood that we can have salvation. May Almighty Yahweh bless each one of us as we seek to follow the steps to a life of faith that Moses used. At this time, I'm going to call Brother Felix Fanero to come forth and close with the word of prayer. Would you all rise at this time?
Let's all bow our hearts, Almighty Yahweh. Almighty Yahweh. Venir ante tu presencia una vez más, para darte gracias, Padre, porque por gracia hemos recibido. Gracias, Padre, por día sábado, día de reposo. Pedimos, Padre, que bendiga cada uno de nuestros hermanos, alrededor del mundo entero, Padre, que tú pongas tu mano poderosa en cada uno de ellos. Gracias, Padre, cada uno que estamos presentes, cada uno que estamos escuchando en la emisora. Gracias, Padre, una vez más, por tu amor y tu misericordia, por lo que cada uno de nosotros tiene que darte gracias siempre. Gracias una vez más. Gracias, Mary. Aleluya.